This lesson on the spirits in prison, as I was going over it several times this week, reviewing it, made me remember a conversation I had back in college at Missouri Southern with one of the students I had several classes with, and how misunderstanding a text can get you in trouble. And this particular individual had greatly misunderstood the text we're looking at today. And when you misunderstand a verse or a paragraph, a text, that can lead to other misunderstandings. You're very aware, I'm sure, of our text this morning from 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter was probably written sometime in the mid-60s A.D. It was written during a time of intense persecution. Many, many Christians, countless Christians, were suffering because of their faith. We read about this, first of all, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. We read about this suffering, which leads us into our text. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it's better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Peter is writing to these Christians to encourage them. He wants them to follow their master, Jesus Christ. And that leads us into our text. And I think one of the most misunderstood text in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and following. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. The first thing we notice in verse 18 is that it says that Jesus was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. See, the purpose, the result of Christ's suffering was to bring us to God. That's what he says, that he might bring us to God. Christ suffered for our sins. Why? So that we could be reconciled to God. But what had to happen? The verse says, he had to die in the flesh. His physical body, Christ's physical body, had to die in the flesh. His fleshly body had to die. But notice, he did not die in his spirit. We read from Luke chapter 23, where was Jesus' spirit going to go? When he talked to that thief, what did Jesus say? Today you will be with me where? In paradise. In paradise. And that's an extremely important point when we're trying to understand our text. So Jesus' physical body died, but his spirit did not die. His spirit went to paradise. And it was in this spirit, it says, that he preached to the spirits in prison. Now, again, careful looking at the text, This word preached here is not the word that we get the good news from, evangelism from. This is the word that simply means he proclaimed a message. He proclaimed a message. That's what a herald did. A herald would be sent by someone and he would proclaim a message. The Spirit, we know from the Bible, is the part that's not subject to death. We are made up of two parts. We have a part of the body that's fleshly, but we also have a part that's the Spirit, which never dies. We read, if we go back a few pages to James chapter 2, we read about the Spirit, the part that's not subject to death. The very last verse of James chapter 2 says, "For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." For as the body without the Spirit is dead. When our spirit departs from our body, the body is dead. Christ's body died on the cross. But his spirit went where? To paradise. Now, it says in our text, "By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison." Here's where people really start to misunderstand what's going on. These spirits had died. And when Peter is writing 1 Peter chapter 3, again, probably in the mid-60s, the spirits were where? They had died. Their bodies had died, but their spirits were where? Their spirits were in the spirit world. They were in the Hadean realm. Disembodied spirits. That's what Hades basically means. Disembodied spirits. The world of disembodied spirits, where you don't have a physical body. Well, what else do we read? It says these spirits were in prison. So they weren't in paradise. They weren't in paradise. That's where Jesus went, was to paradise. Jesus didn't go to prison. So there's one indication that Jesus did not go into the Hadean world and preach to these people who were lost. Because these spirits were in prison. They were in restraint. Why? Because of their wicked ways, because of their evil. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, we read this. "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." That word hell there is Tartarus. That's where the spirits in prison were when Peter wrote. They were in Tartarus, where disobedient angels were. They were in the part of the Hadean world that the rich man went to. Remember the account of the rich man and Lazarus? They both died, didn't they? Lazarus went where? To Abraham's bosom, what we would call paradise. Where did the rich man go? He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Prison. Where those disobedient angels were. So they were restrained. Jude verse 6 uses the same concept. Jude verse 6 says this, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." So there we see the two compartments in the Hadean world. We have Abraham's bosom. We have paradise. That's where Jesus' spirit went. But we have the disobedient. They were in Tartarus with those evil angels. They were in torment. That's where the rich man went. Without that understanding, People get very, very confused about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and following. So these spirits in prison, they were in prison when Peter wrote. They were not in prison when they were preached to. And how do we know that? We know that because the Bible says once someone dies, their eternal destiny is sealed forever. No preaching. They're what? They know their destiny. The rich man did, didn't he? He knew he was lost. He knew there was no way for him to be saved. None whatsoever. He was condemned. Be pointless to preach to someone who's already condemned. So Jesus did not, which is what millions of people in the denominational world teach, Jesus did not go into Tartarus and preach to these people. Sadly, that's what many people teach, but that is not what the text teaches at all. The next verse tells us, and is really the key to understanding the whole text. It says, these spirits in prison were what? Who formerly were disobedient. They were in the past disobedient. Well, when were they disobedient? The text tells us. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. These disobedient spirits who were now in prison in the first century, when did they live? They lived during the time of Noah. That's when they lived. The text tells us that. They had in the past, centuries ago, millennia ago, they were disobedient. They did not obey the preaching of Noah. And that's what happened to them. So these disobedient people lived during the time of Noah. That's when they were preached to. You only preach to people who can respond. They could respond to the preaching of Noah. They could have, but they didn't. But they could have responded. And that's what preaching is to do, is to get a response. So Jesus did not go into the Hadean world in the first century and preach to people who were already condemned. What a ludicrous thought. So what's going on? We know that Noah preached to those people in his day. So when Peter was writing his epistle, these people were in prison. They were not given a second chance. The Bible says what happens after death. It's over. Your destiny is sealed. Hebrews chapter 9, right? Verse 27. After death comes the judgment. There is no second chance. If there were, what would happen? There wouldn't be a single person in torment. That's for sure. Because everybody would respond. But there are no second chances. Everyone is lost in torment. Because if they were given a second chance, they would have taken it. Rich man and Lazarus tells us there are no second chances. Once a man dies, their eternal destiny is forever sealed. Again, we know that because Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, 13 and 14 that most people would be what? Lost. They would choose the wide way, the broad way that leads to what? Everlasting destruction. So how did Jesus preach to these people? It says it was by his Spirit. Notice, again, sometimes people miss this. At the end of verse 18, it says, He was made alive by the Spirit by whom he went and preached to the spirits in prison. It was by the Spirit that he preached to those people. So Christ, in the person of Noah, preached to these disobedient, ungodly people. Christ wasn't there physically in the days of Noah, but it was by his Spirit that he did that. Back in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, we read this. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, which the angels desire to look into. So it was Christ, his Spirit, that was in the person of Noah that preached to these disobedient, ungodly people who were now in torments, in prison, in that Hadean world. See, Noah was an agent of Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 2, this is what Noah is called. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We read verse 4. The next verse says, and did not spare the ancient world, talking about God, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. See, Noah was an agent of Christ. And that's how Jesus is said to have preached. He preached to those people in Noah's day through Noah. No, Jesus didn't physically appear to them and preach. No, he did it through Noah. That's what he did. And it says what? While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. See, the water was the means of death to all those people who rejected the preaching of Noah. And that was almost everybody. When you think about the vast numbers of people in the world, the huge numbers of people that heard Noah preach for decades, only a tiny percent were saved. A tiny percent. Those people that disobeyed, they disobeyed the message of Christ through Christ's agent Noah. Again, only eight souls were saved by these waters. Why did God, and I think this is a really good point, why did God choose to destroy the world then by water? Why didn't he just kill everybody instantly? I mean, he could have just done that. He could have said, okay, everybody but you eight are dead. And they would have been dead. Why destroy the world by water? And I think this is the reason. 1 Peter chapter 3, that's why. Because he knew that several thousand years in the future, that water would be the means of salvation. And I think that's why he chose to destroy the world there in Noah's day by water. Because he knew that the waters of baptism would save people come the first century. So this is what happens. Verses 21 and 22. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now the water itself had no saving power in the flood. It was just water. In other words, it wasn't magical water. It was just water. And when someone is baptized today, and there's the water is not magical. There's nothing magical about the water. And that's why when someone goes swimming or whatever, that's not baptism. When someone is saved through water, how? By the power of God. That's how. Just like God did it back in the time of Noah, water saves us today. Not because water is magical or there's something it's holy about it. It's not. It's just plain water. But it's because of the power of God. That's how. And long ago, the waters of the flood separated the godly people from the ungodly. Well, that's what the waters of baptism do today. They separate the saved from the unsaved. And Peter wanted to make absolutely sure that there would be no misunderstandings about baptism. He makes it clear that he's not talking about washing dirt off of your body. He says, that's not what I'm talking about at all. He says it's what? It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. The word answer here has the idea of a serious question or interrogation, an honest desire, an appeal to have a clear conscience. It's a fervent desire, a fervent seeking to have a clear conscience. How can you really have a clear conscience? It's when your sins are forgiven. That's how. And it's all based upon, Peter says, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism would have no effect today if it wasn't because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without his suffering on the cross, without the shedding of his blood, without his resurrection, all of us would be lost forever. Just like the spirits in prison. Just like the spirits in prison. All of those people that refused the preaching of Noah, they're lost, and they're lost forever. No second chances. No one going to preach to them now to get them to repent. No, their destiny was sealed at death. In the waters of the flood, only 8 people survived. Only 8. So it was through Noah, an agent of Christ. Christ's spirit was in Noah, preached to those people over and over and over again. And the vast majority of them, with the exception of 7 others, said no. And they were in prison in Tartarus, the place of torment. They were right there with the rich man. They were right there with evil angels and any others who were disobedient. That's where they are, waiting for the final sentencing. Because that's really what the final judgment is. It's sentencing. Because at death we know our destiny, whether it's going to be good or bad. And those spirits who were in prison in the first century, they knew they were lost. They knew they had no second chance. And no doubt their lives are filled with regret. Because the only opportunities we have are while we're alive. We can make things right by repenting and being baptized. And if that's done, we can keep making things right by confessing our sins and repenting of them. And then we can have confidence and hope of that eternal life. This morning, if there is anyone who has that need, then I encourage you now to come as we stand and sing this invitation song.